Well, happy Friday, my good people. So I figured, let me come on here and go through a few things. talk a little bit about the death of a rapper. I guess his name is Extension. Don't really know. First time. Never listened to his music. I'd also want to touch a little bit upon the separation of families that is happening at our borders. So let me hop on in there and get this started. So I just wanted to briefly talk about a death of a popular rapper. So I grew up during the era of what people identify as hardcore gangster rap. I'm also from New York City at this time, so hip hop is New York. New York is hip hop. It is not only the music, but it's how we interact with each other. It's how we dress. It's how we communicate. It's how we relate to one another, specifically in the Black community. There are two very poignant times in hip-hop history that I was alive for, and that is the death of Tupac Shakur, as well as the death of the Notorious B.I.G., also born as Christopher Wallace. These particular rappers are very influential on the 90s hip-hop, specifically rap. Everybody knows the history. It makes no sense to even bring it up. If you don't know it, just quick Googles. Just do your research. But Notorious B.I.G. is so prevalent in my partner's life that our son's middle name is Christopher. And we named him after the Notorious B.I.G. It's the only Christopher we acknowledge is B.I.G. and my son. And I think that's one of the ways that an artist does live on, because these two talented individuals, and I want to be very clear what I mean by talent. Writers, they could put bars to beats. They didn't have, you know, all that extra. Specifically, I have seen footage of the Notorious B.I.G. when he was a young individual and was able to rap. He was born with the poetic gene. Tupac was a revolutionary who was able to communicate the message. And he's got some janky shit. Listen, I take it for the grain of salt that it is. Everybody does. One of my favorite songs by Tupac is I Get Around. Yeah, I mean, he's being a hoe, and he's being honest about his hoism. But anyway, we have a situation where rappers become infamous in death. The saying goes, dead rappers get better promotion, and they do. So we had another, what appears to be a poignant death of a rapper. It's not my particular genre of hip-hop. I don't listen to much of the music from the younger generation, but I understand that this rapper Extension had some severe personal issues, and so it was interesting to watch on social media how that stuff played out between his murder and the type of person that he is. It's a difficult time that we live in, where we are acknowledging that abuse is not an acceptable form of communication. Nobody wants to be physically abused, mentally, emotionally. We don't want to be traumatized, sexually abused, none of those things. And here we have an individual who was accused of quite a bit of things. to see him immortalized, though, is kind of weird, because it's like people are like, oh, forgive him, you know, he didn't deserve this. I have a very different understanding of certain things. I know what it's like to lose a loved one to violence and have to deal with the aftermath, the person who was responsible, and how do you cope through those things. And then through my own incarceration, I've had to be around individuals who have taken lives, and you have to learn how to manage your emotions around the situation and deal with the situation. I don't condone the violence. I don't advocate for it. I don't believe you should take a life, but I also don't believe in taking a life. And I've been in a very unfortunate, unique situation where I've had a loved one. I had my previous husband's life taken away from me. And that has evoked severe depression, trauma, anxiety. So I deal with those things still. And I'm still working on it. I still have issues. But I'm hoping to continue to develop better coping skills around that particular trauma. I can only hope that his victims are able to process and heal. I hope his family is able to process and heal. And I hope we learn to make better choices. Moving right along. my second part of the segment is the separation of immigrant families at the border. Listen, guys, I don't know how these things happen on a continuous basis, and we as an American country just really don't just rise up and smash everything in sight until this government does right. I don't know why we don't. You cannot take five-month-old children. You cannot separate families who are fleeing for a better life and rip them apart and think you're not going to do irreparable damage. And what I mean by that is, at some point, the damage that this American government is causing is going to cause an uprising again. We have watched through our history the enslavement and the decimation of the Native people, the Indigenous, the First Nations. I mean, colonizers obliterated, destroyed, and it's some of the very same tactics we're seeing today. Separating them, diseases, trauma, violence, concentration camps, reservation camps, whatever you want to call them. Detention centers, jails, prisons, plantations. We watched colonizers destroy slaves, black people, Africans. I take a look at my community, and it's one of the sickest communities I've ever lived in. It is full of drug and alcohol abusers. It is full of poverty. It is full of despair. And I say despair because you can look in the eyes of a lot of the people that live in my area, and they're just drained. You know, there's not enough happiness or goodness happening around us. And at this point, I have to recognize that I'm struggling. So with that, I have to compensate. And so sometimes I have to pull back on information I take in from the news, or, you know, redirect my focus. But to see these families separated, in my mind, I know it's only a matter of time before the people, these Latinos, raise up and say enough. You are not going to continue to do this. We work for damn near free. Let's be real. The immigrants run this country. Illegals. I'm not going to sit here and debate about how this country functions. It is no longer run on slavery. And once that was done, they needed a workforce to replace it. And they did. They didn't want to give black people equality. They wanted free labor. And they found it in the Latino communities, countries, continents. We have an influx of not just Mexicans, but of immigrants from other South American countries that are being ripped apart by violence that we have direct hands on, or we fuel by our insatiable desire for drugs. And let's just call it what it is. Americans are severely addicted to cocaine and heroin. And we are destroying countries for it. We are creating war-torn areas where women and children just want to survive. Families just want to survive, and so they flee. They do whatever they can to get over to this border to have a better life, and we rip them apart. We deny them services. We deny them equality. We tell them they are doing something wrong while they're mowing our lawn, fixing our food, raising our children. We're telling them that you're wrong. Americans have got to be the biggest sack of shit ever. We have created the new slave while still depending on the prison slave labor, by the way. So it is a duality where we have Latinos and blacks serving the system. Majority, really, at this point, I don't know what we should expect. I just really don't. So that was just a quick recap on some of the issues. I know a whole lot more went on. Maybe I'll catch up and get to it, but I like to keep these as short as possible. I'll be back in a couple of days.